We are talking today about making disciples, and it's amazing that this, I couldn't pass this up when this came up, if I would share, even though it was a bit of an insane week, but this is what we did all week long. Can you guys stand? Who was here this week? Or put up your hand if you were part of making disciples of the young ones here. Okay, this is, some people are being shy, others are recovering at home, but we had over 50 kids, you guys, here. Woo! Up until yesterday, even including yesterday, we had over 50 kids here, lots from the neighborhood, some from WCV community, and we poured on them. We talked about God's love, and it was awesome. And we're going to watch this little video just to show you what happened this week. That was awesome. And how the theme relates to this is just like we got to spend a whole 5 days with these faces, and I feel like my life is better for that. And we were able to join parents in their journey of discipling and making disciples. And I personally am actually going to miss these kids. I feel like I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and go, hey, maybe I could just like, you know, I might just sleep in. But anyway. Second thought, I might just sleep in. So we're going to look at Matthew 28:20 today, where Jesus commands us to go to make disciples of all nations. And before we unpackage that scripture, let's talk about some barriers of making disciples. Making disciples can be defined as, right now, we'll look at it more closely as we look at the passage, but taking people to the next step in their faith walk. What are some of those barriers that prevent us from helping people take that next step in their faith walk? And I know for myself, in the past, I've always thought, you know, circumstances have to be really good for me to feel strong and to feel like I can operate like that, that I can actually invest in people and take them to the next step in their journey and help them along the way. But then comes the question of what do we do when things aren't good and circumstances aren't good? And I was just recently in that season. Lots of you know our journey. Some of you might be hearing it for the first time. And I'll just share a little nugget of that because it relates to this story. Is a year ago at this time, and I have permission to share my version of the story, but a year ago at this time, my son had a suspected diagnosis of a life-threatening illness. So up until last June, we thought we had 4 healthy kids. That came crashing down before us last June. We had a suspected diagnosis of a life-threatening illness. That led to the confirmation of that diagnosis. That led to open-heart surgery, which led to recovery and the journey of finding our new normal and reshaping some of our dreams. And for me, what ended up happening in that season that I'm feeling I've really processed a lot well in these 12 months, so I can actually reflect now and look back. But what happened for me in that season is the question came up of how can I actually give out right now? Because this is not good. Circumstances are not going really good right now. And the part that felt really dark for me, those of you that are parents will know what I mean, is when you're watching one of your kids is suffering and you can't change it. And so that's what it was like for me, is I was listening to a medical team come in, and some of you can identify with me, and they were saying, okay, so life as you know it isn't going to be anymore. The dreams that you had, you know, or however you were, all the activity you were doing, that's over. And this is a lifelong thing, and there's no cure, by the way. And so that was one of our visits, and that was a really heavy moment. We've got lots of activity. Hopefully you can hear. Next week we will have the video, so that will work. But that, so for me, that created just a sense of darkness come over me, and I felt powerless. I believe in healing, I still do, and that I will never stop praying for healing for my son. But in that moment, I remember even the day that I had the suspected diagnosis, and I was a wreck. And couldn't really share, didn't have permission to share this story, because those of you that are parents of teenagers, you understand that there's boundaries, right, to that sharing, and just in terms of being confidential. And so for me, not even having that permission to share, How could I possibly give out? And so the day I had that suspected diagnosis, they were suspicious of this, I had a call and had to go help someone and mentor them in taking their next step. And I asked God, can I do this? Can I actually do this? Can I put myself out there right now and invest in someone else's faith walk in this dark time? And that continued to be a question for me as the months went on and as surgery happened and recovery. Can I be faithful to what God's calling me? He's still calling me to actually invest in people. He's still calling me to disciple, but my circumstances are terrible right now. They are really bad. And I want to talk this morning a little bit about some of the barriers that others of us feel. So as I'm sharing, some of you might be identifying with me going, that's me right now. I'm totally in that dark place. I'm in that hard place. Others of us might feel like making disciples, I don't feel that urgency. It's not on my radar right now. Others of us might feel like life is busy, and that's just adding something else on. I'm not sure how to suddenly make disciples in my busyness. Others of us might feel like I don't have the tools in the midst of our culture to reach in and disciple someone, to invest in their faith journey and influence them that way. I don't feel like I have the tools. So there's many different barriers. You might even have others that you're thinking of that prevent us from investing in others, from helping them take the next step. So let's look at Matthew 28. We'll start at verse 16. I think I lost my sound. Can you guys hear me? So let's start. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And the word saw means to have realized, to perceive, to know, to have experienced. So the disciples would have experienced Jesus. When they saw him, it wasn't just, hey, maybe that's Jesus. It's, oh, I know you. I've experienced you. And some of them worshipped and some doubted. But Jesus didn't specify who he was addressing. He actually addressed them all. It goes on to say, then Jesus came to them. And the Greek word here could be translated then or and it connects two closely related events. So Matthew's connecting the worshiping and the doubting with the charge that Jesus is about to give. So you see the point here? We've got the doubters. We've got those that are wavering. It says in the Message version, they weren't willing to risk themselves totally. We've got those disciples and we've got those worshiping. And Jesus goes and he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So three things. I'm going a little fast because we are in summer mode. But three things about this go and make disciples. Make can be translated, as you are going, make disciples. So the imperative is on the make disciples, but the going is assumed. So as you go into all nations, as you live your life, make disciples. Invest in other people. Help them in their faith walk. The language is strong. So it's not, hey, as you're casually talking to your buddy, maybe share your faith. No, it goes on to say, this expression can actually be translated, urge them to become my disciples. Convince. So that's quite strong. That's very different than if it comes up, talk about me. No, it's convince. It's urge. One concordance says, to make a disciple is to make, the disciples were to make themselves, to make people what they themselves are, disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is intense about this. This is addressing the barriers here. If we're busy, if we're in that dark place, if we're those that are wavering, that are doubting, that are unsure if we can risk ourselves totally, Jesus is still calling us to this. He's still saying, you know what? You're in that place, but I'm calling you, urging you to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And the Message version, I love this part of the Message version, says, I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. And so with the amazing week that we've had, just pouring into kids and showing them God's love, it was really beautiful. And I have gotten to know two of our friends' stories. So Dale and David, if you want to come up, I'm going to talk to them a little bit about some of their barriers that, and how they overcame them in making disciples. Woo! So maybe we'll grab, you know what, we can just use this mic. Okay, Dale, I'm going to start with you. So Dale, you guys, I just got to introduce Dale. Colorado team has come three times in the last 7 years. Okay, Dale has been here every single time. It has been amazing. So he's been, yeah. Woo! Thank you, Dale. So Dale, their stories are awesome, and we shared that the first day they came just about this, and of course I was already thinking about Sunday morning, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get you to share this. Dale, I'm going to start with you. So in your past, Dale, what prevented you from living out the Great Commission, from making disciples?
I was raised to always stand on your own feet, self-reliance. You don't need to worry. You don't need to bother God with any of your problems, anything like that.
Okay. So independence. What enabled you, Dale, in your story to move past the struggle in order to disciple others? What was your moment there?
I had a severe moment of desperation. I can go into that story. 9 years ago, my son came down with an illness. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And he became paralyzed, his entire body. One evening, he died. And they brought a crash cart in. His pulse dropped. The doctors brought him back. At that time, I went into the chapel. I couldn't do anything, so I had to call on God. And I just had a vision of myself walking up to the altar with him in my arms, laying him down at the altar and then backing away. I prayed a prayer that I didn't pray anything. It's hard to tell. But I didn't pray a prayer of, hey, please save him. He's going to be a good man. Please save him. He's going to do this in his life, anything like that. I just said, God, I need him. I know you love him more than I do, but I need him now. And he's here with us right now, right there.
Okay, so it was that moment of you in that chapel and that time with God where he spoke to you that really enabled you.
Yeah, total desperation. I couldn't do it on my own. I had to rely on God, and God always comes through. I'm telling you, God always comes through.
So Dale, your story is really inspiring because you moved from that moment and you had an amazing year this year. Dale has really taken this passage to the absolute extreme, and why don't you share what you did?
Well, after that and after Jack healed, it took him a while to be able to, he had to learn how to walk again. He was in a wheelchair for a little bit, but the doctors called him Wonder Boy, and they wrote it in his file, and I told him to change it, please, to Miracle Boy, and they crossed it out, and they changed it to Miracle Boy because I didn't like that Wonder Boy thing. But after that, I started going on mission trips, and after meeting all these kids and getting a heart for trafficked children, I couldn't walk away from them anymore, so my wife and I this past year adopted 4 kids, 2 from refugee camps in Africa and 2 from refugee camps on the Thai-Burma border, and they've seen some horrendous things. My two from Burma have been trafficked. They've witnessed their mother murdered, but after a year and a half with us and the love of God, they were baptized, and they're happier and they're healthy now.
Thank you, Dale. That's so awesome. So we're going to move on to David here. David, what prevented you from living out the Great Commission, from making disciples and investing in others?
Well, my family and I lived on the eastern side of the United States, and about 7 years ago, we felt like God was calling us. We prayed for about a year, but through many circumstances, God called us to move on the other side of the United States, away from